Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, coming to you each and every Saturday afternoon here on News Talk 580 KMJ, and of course, worldwide on the internet, kmjnow.com, where you can download podcast versions of the show from past weeks. Each week, we visit with veterans of World War II. The idea is to hear those stories for multiple reasons. We want to honor their service and sacrifice to our country, hopefully to preserve their stories for posterity, to preserve that legacy. And thirdly, really, that the rest of us, those of us who are a little bit younger like myself, that we will be inspired as we listen to their stories of service and understand the sacrifices they made for our freedom, the freedom that we enjoy today. This weekend, of course, pays tribute to all the men and women who have given their lives in the service of our country, Memorial Day weekend. My thoughts go to my grandfather, who passed away a year ago this week and was a decorated World War II veteran, really the reason that I got into interviewing World War II veterans on television and now radio. But I have a chance this weekend, with the Bulldogs being in Hawaii for the WAC tournament, to visit hallowed ground. You think of Memorial Day, and what better place to experience this time of year than at Pearl Harbor, where the USS Arizona still lies below the surface in the ocean in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, December 7th, 1941, a day that will never be forgotten. Over the years, you've heard me visit with several Valley veterans who were Pearl Harbor survivors. Today, a chance to visit with a couple of the gentlemen who you'll meet when you go to Pearl Harbor as a tourist. There are several Pearl Harbor survivors who volunteer there. They tell their stories to visitors to the memorial, and they also sign a lot of autographs. So they're treated, as you'll hear a couple of them tell you, as rock stars when they're there at the Pearl Harbor, the Arizona Memorial. By the way, a brand new visitor center is under construction, will open just about a year from now in Honolulu, and the veterans are very excited about that. So before the program's over today, we're going to hear from a couple gentlemen with some pretty interesting stories to tell. One of them is Al Rodriguez, a native of Hawaii, who was serving in the Navy on December 7th, 1941. He'll tell you how he experienced it, even talk to you about shooting his 30 caliber rifle at some of the Japanese airplanes coming in. You'll also hear from Herb Weatherwax. He's nearly 92 years old. He was serving in the Army on December 7th, 1941. Also a native of Hawaii. He would end up in Europe by the time the war was over, and still at almost 92, continues to spend 3 or 4 days a week at the Arizona Memorial, volunteering his time to teach history to visitors from all over the world. So that's what's in store on the program today. But I also, of course, want to remind you about the big weekend in the Valley. Tomorrow is the third annual Heroes of the Valley event, benefiting the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor in downtown Fresno. You've heard me talk about this museum so many times on the air and talk about the great music from the Sounds of Freedom Band, which will be performing tomorrow. In addition to that, you'll get a chance to meet some of the gentlemen who you've heard on this program over the years. There will be a theater presentation. Now, the event is free for the whole family starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow. If you want to take part in the theater presentation and enjoy a tri-tip barbecue, there is a nominal fee for that. But again, all proceeds go to benefit the Veterans Memorial Museum, and anything raised will also be matched by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a big sponsor. That theater presentation will include videos that I've put together on several of the veterans featured on this program as well, and I think it'll definitely be worth your time. So take your family out to the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno tomorrow at 2 o'clock for that third annual Heroes of the Valley event. For more information, you can go to heroesofthevalley.com. Now let's get started with today's guests. First up, Al Rodriguez, a Navy veteran, 89 years old, from Hawaii. Well, Al, tell me first of all, what do you get out of being here at the memorial? Why do you volunteer here at the Arizona Memorial? What's in it for you?
Well, really it's to tell our story to people who visit here, and we have quite a few of them, as you see. And another reason is that last year I lost my wife, and I have nothing else to do, really, so I enjoy coming here.
Your hand ever get tired of signing those autographs?
Not really. Believe it or not, not really.
89 years old and going strong. Tell me if you can, on this Memorial Day weekend, we honor all of those. More than a million Americans have given their lives since the War for Independence more than 200 years ago. I'm sure for you that those who lost their lives on December 7th come to mind every Memorial Day. Where were you on that Sunday morning, and how do you remember the events of December 7th, 1941?
Well, that morning I was stationed at the naval facility called Section Base Bishop's Point, which is at the mouth or the entrance to Pearl Harbor. I just happened to have the duty that morning at the 4-8 watch, and at about 6:30 we got word that one of our destroyers, the USS Ward, was dropping depth charges on an unidentified submarine. And the message came to our base, and the quartermaster on deck says, "Hey, we got a problem here." And he told me what had happened. At 7:45, I got relieved from my duties and went to have breakfast. I had just sat my tray down when we heard a lot of explosions. And then all of a sudden, the general alarm sounded. We all ran out to the armory where they issued us 30 caliber rifles or 45 pistols when they ran out. And that's all we had to shoot at the planes with. But of course, 1941, the planes were slower than they are today, and they were flying low enough where you could see the pilots' faces. I'm sure we hit the planes because there were enough of us shooting at them. The planes were low enough where, as I said, you could see the pilots' faces.
So you were firing a 45 at the Japanese pilots?
I had a 30 caliber rifle. You know, that was a one-shot thing. You cocked the after every shot, so you didn't fire much. You fired enough, however, because there were enough planes coming down. But like I say, that's all we had to protect us.
How soon did you realize, boy, this is huge, this is enormous, this is catastrophic? Did it sink in right away, or did it take a while?
It sunk pretty fast, because, you know, especially when, you know, I was a storekeeper, and when one of the officers came along, he took my gun away. He said, "You get in that warehouse and open that warehouse for any supplies that people needed." And I was really scared. And some of the bullets, you see, we were right next to Hickam Air Force Base, and they were strafing the planes on the airfield. And a couple of bullets came right through the roof of our, we had a tin roof, and that scared the heck out of me.
I can believe it. So you're firing one shot at a time with your 30 caliber. They've got some pretty heavy weapons on those planes and lighting your thing up. What goes through your mind in an instant like that? Do you have time to think at all, or are you just acting?
You really don't have time to think. You're just acting. And like I say, when the officers came aboard, because all the military were called back to active duty, and they took my gun away, it really scared me.
How long did that seem to go on for you? Because I know the attack itself didn't last very long. It was over fairly quickly. I imagine when you're in the middle of it, it kind of seems like it's never going to end.
It lasted for 2 hours, and it seemed like 2 days. You're right.
And after it was over, did you grasp the significance of it and how large the magnitude of the devastating blow that Japan had dealt to the United States fleet?
Oh, we definitely realized it. As a matter of fact, that morning, one of the Japanese persons who was collecting what they call slop for his pig farm, and one of our senior petty officers took the gun and told him, "You get the hell out of here." I mean, that was how we felt at that time towards the Japanese.
I'm sure it was an incredible time in history to be here in this location. Did you stay here for a while after that, or how long before you left Pearl Harbor?
I stayed in Pearl Harbor for a while, and then I got reassigned right here in Pearl Harbor to the battleship USS Washington BB-56, which we put almost 2 years in the Pacific, and we saw much more action than we did in Pearl Harbor.
I believe it. What were your duties aboard ship?
I was in supply, and I made the chief storekeeper on the USS Washington. And supply, you did a lot of different things. You took care of all the provisions aboard ship. And I just happened to be one of those who had the alcohol locker, and we were required to have 1,000 cases of beer aboard ship for liberty parties in the atolls that we visited. So I was a lucky guy, really.
And a popular guy, I'm sure.
Definitely.
I'm sure that you mentioned you saw a lot more action during those 2 years aboard the USS Washington than you did here in Pearl Harbor. I'm curious, though, for the nation, Pearl Harbor became such a rallying cry. Remember Pearl Harbor was really what everyone got behind and motivated them to fight the enemy. What about for you, having experienced and seen that devastation firsthand on December 7th? Is that something that kind of stuck in your mind as you went out to fight the Japanese in the Pacific?
It always did. It always will. That's why I enjoy coming here to tell my story to the people who visit us. And I enjoy doing it.
When when you were in the Pacific, any close calls that come to mind, any moments that, like December 7th, where easily you could have been shot as your roof was getting shot up by the Japanese planes, where you felt like, boy, I really dodged a bullet there, somebody was looking out for me?
Oh, many times. We the ship I was on had 14 battle stars, which means there were 14 major battles, either get bombarded by ships or bombarding different islands in the Pacific.
So you saw plenty of action in the Pacific. I want to ask you about today and what you're doing here. I know you're looking forward to the new visitor center opening next year. Is there anything that stands out from all the time that you spent here volunteering, something that's the most meaningful in your mind, that maybe someone said to you or an experience you had that really kind of hit home for you, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing?
Well, it's just the respect that the people show us, and they come from all over the world, and they are really surprised to see veterans here from Pearl Harbor December 7th. And they kiss us and hug us, and some of them are very emotional. They start crying, and it's good to be here. I like it.
One more question for you. Obviously, that won't last forever, and you guys are telling your stories. There's videos of you, but you know, 20 years from now, people won't be able to come here and talk to a Pearl Harbor veteran like they can today. If you had one thought you could share with anybody who wants to know about Pearl Harbor and why December 7th, 1941 is an important thing to remember, what would that one message that you wanted to get across be?
Well, we got to be on guard at all times. That's one thing.
Those bodies that are still down there on the Arizona can't be forgotten.
No, really, those are the heroes. We just happened to be here that day. We had no choice.
So part of what you're doing is to keep their legacy alive.
That's correct.
That's 89-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor Al Rodriguez, a native of Hawaii, who has for many, many years been a volunteer at the Arizona Memorial in Honolulu. If you ever have a chance to visit, it is a must-see for the tourist, and there are so many military-related sites around the islands that are definitely a history lesson waiting to happen. When we come back, more living history from a gentleman even older than Al Rodriguez, a man known around these parts as Uncle Herb, Army veteran of World War II and another Pearl Harbor survivor. Herb Weatherwax will join us when we come back. Hometown Heroes, a special Memorial Day weekend edition on News Talk 580 KMJ.
History in every century records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall as into line we fall the thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we get the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, coming to you every Saturday afternoon, and I'm joined today by a Pearl Harbor survivor here at the Arizona Memorial in Honolulu. Herb Weatherwax will be 92 years old in a couple of weeks, and Herb, I understand you were born here in Hawaii, right?
Yes, I was born in Hawaii, and I'm part Hawaiian. My dad came from Waterloo, Iowa, and met a local Hawaiian girl here and got married, so I'm what they call a Hapahauli. Hapahauli, I'm Caucasian and Hawaii.
The perfect mix. And I know you're a very familiar face to folks who have visited the Arizona Memorial over the years, been volunteering here for quite some time. I know you're looking forward to the new visitor center that's under construction right now. But I want to talk to you about your time in the service during World War II. You were here on the island on December 7th, 1941, not in the Navy. You're in the Army, assigned to Schofield Barracks. Do I have that right?
That's right. Yes, I was assigned to Schofield Barracks. I was drafted into the Army. I was already 24 years old, working for the power company out here. And I got a call from President Roosevelt to join the military, and I did that. And I'm glad that I did that, because at that time, everybody was needed. All the able-bodied people were needed because we had two wars going on, one in Europe and one in China. And they knew that something was going to happen and we would have to be prepared for it. So that's the reason we got drafted into the Army.
And you would end up serving in a couple different theaters of that war. But I want to talk to you about December 7th, 1941. What do you remember about that morning? Where were you when you realized, hey, something's going on here. We might be at war.
I was at home, and I just want to mention, just about 10 days before that attack, the Army had been alerted to get out to our defensive position. And that's what we did. We got onto that. And that meant that we had to get prepared for an invasion by sea. And I was in a communication section, and we laid all the telephone lines to get everything all prepared. And we thought that we were all set. But we didn't know what for. We didn't know that something was going to happen at Pearl Harbor or not, but our orders were to get prepared. And so we did that. That morning, I was let out on a weekend pass. On that weekend, I was at home. Early that morning, I heard a very loud explosion. And it was a beautiful day. And I looked in the direction of the sound, and that was over Pearl Harbor. And the sky was just black with smoke in that area. And then I turned the radio on. They announced over the radio that all military personnel report to your station immediately. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor. Immediately, I got a ride down to the bus stop in Honolulu. And there we got on the bus. And then as we were heading for Schofield Barracks, we had to pass by Pearl Harbor. And as soon as I entered that area there, I looked out and I was shocked. I had a shock of my life. The Arizona was already on fire, and it was a terrible sight. All the ships in the back of the Arizona was ablaze. And as I say, the sky, that area was just black with smoke. And I saw the Oklahoma had already been torpedoed. She killed over. I could see the hull. And I could see little objects scrambling on the hull of the ship, which was the men that escaped. And our bus kept on going, headed on. And we passed by Wheelerfield, which is just next to Schofield Barracks. And there I saw all our airplanes that had been parked in the runway, all ablaze, the hangars were ablaze. And then I saw the one lone plane circling around Wheelerfield. And that's the only plane I can remember out of the 350 plane that was sent out to attack Pearl Harbor. And we got together at Schofield Barracks, then we had to travel all around the island in order to our position, which was located where the naval air base was, Kaneohe Naval Air Base. And when I approached that Kaneohe Naval Air Base, I was shocked again to see that base on ablaze, and all the airplanes, the seaplanes were all ablaze. And then we were all excited because we were waiting for the Japanese to follow up with an invasion, which is what we expected. So that evening, we were all keyed up, and we were concerned about saboteurs too at the time. But then the next day came about, and there was no invasion. Then later on, about 2 days afterwards, we found out that they had turned around, a Japanese convoy had turned around and headed back to Japan. But the damage that was done was so bad, terrible. We lost over 2,000, 3,000 men. And So now, after that, should I tell you that I made a trip over to, I wanted to be a fighter pilot, so I applied for it. I was accepted, sent to the men, and as an aviation cadet.
Now, I want to talk to you about that, but let me stop you here. And for those of you listening at home, you may hear an announcement at a time or two. We're at the Visitor Center at the Arizona Memorial in Honolulu with Herb Weatherwax. It's going to be 92 in the start of June. And he's talking to us about his memories of December 7th, 1941. And before you get to what you did in the rest of the war, I want to ask you more about that bus ride. That sounds like the longest bus ride you've ever taken. Did you have a helpless feeling just watching all this happen and not be able to do anything about it?
Oh, yes, we had that. And it was a state of shock. I was in a state of shock and confusion. Of course, being in the Army, we were disciplined. And we knew our orders was to report to our station and there go on to what was needed. And that's what I followed. And now our position was on the side where the Naval Air Station is. We were, and then we waited for the, we didn't, we were still in a state of confusion at that time. And but then we remained in a position for 6 months before we were relieved to get back to Schofield Barracks.
So by that time, you were pretty motivated to go fight somebody at that point.
And then later on, I remained here for a couple of years. And then I was getting anxious to get into something better than it was out here, because Hawaii got to be the safest place after that attack. Then we learned later on, about 7 months after that, the Japanese were heading for Hawaii, but they got to Midway Island. And I'm sure they thought that it was easy picking at Midway, which is a little island. And but our carriers that were not in port at the time of the bombing, we're out there waiting for them.
The Big E and the Pacific Fleet had other ideas, and they took care of them at Midway. Now, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Herb just told us about wanting to be a fighter pilot, see how that worked out for him and what he did the rest of the war. Then we'll hear about the memorial and his involvement here. Hometown Heroes from the Arizona Memorial in Honolulu today on News Talk 580 KMJ. Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, coming to you from a different hometown today. Honolulu is the hometown of Herb Weatherwax. He'll be 92 at the start of June. He served in the U.S. Army during World War II. He's a Pearl Harbor survivor and a longtime volunteer here at the Arizona Memorial, which I recommend for everyone. Anytime you're in Hawaii, come see the memorial and the myriad military historic sites that are here. Let's continue on with Herb. He told us about December 7th, 1941. Then you mentioned that after that, you wanted to get some action, and you decided the best way to do that would to be a fighter pilot. How did that work out for you?
Well, I did apply for it and was accepted and sent to the mainland, to America, for training there. I was sent to Kistler Field, but I had so much leave time coming to me that I decided to... they gave me liberty, and I spent my time in New Orleans. Now, I just want to mention this little aside that my dad came from Iowa, and then in the First World War, he was killed at Pearl Harbor. I was only 3 months old at the time, and he was working for the dry dock in Pearl Harbor, and there was an explosion. A boiler explosion there that killed him, so I never got to learn to meet my dad all that time. Now, while I was in the service, my aunt, a sister of my dad, was searching for me. They lost contact of us, and then they reached me while I was on leave in Kistler Field, and so I went over to Waterloo, Iowa, to meet their family, to join up with my family, which I did, and it turned out to be a wonderful thing. So that was about, I was about 27 years old when I got to meet my family, and so that played a very important part. Now, as when my leave time was over, I reported Kitzbühel. They sent me right back into the infantry again. Instead of to flight school, I went to back into the infantry.
And you were probably thinking, being in the air will keep you away from the infantry and away from the trenches.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say, is there life in that? I wasn't too happy when I was reassigned. And then and from there, I got training at Biloxi and
Camp Shelby?
Camp Shelby, Mississippi. And we were training right next door to the 442nd Combat Infantrymen. And many of those Japanese boys were with me in Hawaii here when the war started too. So they were all friends. And then we were sent over to Europe, to England for a short stay, then into France all during the winter, and then on to Belgium.
And so here's a boy who grew up in Honolulu, where I don't think you ever really need to wear long pants if you don't want to, and you end up in the coldest winter that Europe has ever seen. I imagine that wasn't a picnic for you.
No, it was a terrible thing. I didn't realize how bad it was until years afterwards when I found that I was having trouble with my feet. And at the present time, I did apply to the VA and submitted all my reports and everything. Now I'm class 100% disabled, and I'm using this little scooter to get around. And But that European campaign was a pretty tough deal.
So you were in Europe in the winter, and you're fighting the German forces. You're combat infantry, so I imagine you're seeing all kinds of things that just had to be brutal for you every day. And everyone, I'm amazed by any infantryman who comes home from a situation like that. I'm sure you saw a lot of your friends that didn't make it home. What would you say was your closest call, or the moment where you said, boy, somebody's looking out for me. I dodged a bullet there.
Well, I tell you, there were many times. I'll tell you this much, that I did learn how to pray. I always prayed and asked God for help. And there were times that I was expecting to be killed and get hit in the back, especially with a bullet. And it was a period of time that I think that was the worst in my long lifetime. That's just about the worst experience I've ever had. So coming through that experience, I find that things are so easy now from here after in my life. There's no strain at all.
Yeah, it's can't take anything for granted, that's for sure. The noise that you at home hear behind us is one of the boats taking off from the Arizona Memorial Visitor Center out to the actual memorial here in Pearl Harbor. Herb Weatherwax has made that journey dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times over the years. So you're in the 69th Infantry Division in Europe. You have a Bronze Star for your efforts that you wear on your Pearl Harbor Survivor's Cap. Tell me about coming home. When did you get to come home? And what did that feel like for you to know that the war was over for you?
Yeah, well, I had a decision to make whether I should stay in the Army or get out of it. And I had my ranks. I wanted to stay in the Army, but then I decided to get out. And as a result of that getting out, that was the best decision I ever made, because it was only because of that decision I came back home, got back into the trade that I was in as an electrical trade, and then I took advantage of the GI Bill. I went to Iowa and I attended the University of Iowa for a short while. It wasn't for me at all, so I went to the trade school in Chicago, electrical trade school, and then I came back to Hawaii, and as a result of my trade school attendance, I was a little higher than the other electricians out here. I got into my own business, started my business, and And until I retired, when my son took over the business, and he still has the same business that I had. Now, because of that move, that I decided to get out, I have a wonderful family. I keep telling my children, thank God for the fact that I did get out of the service, because had I stayed in, they wouldn't be around here anymore. And I have a wonderful wife that is still alive yet. We've been married, we'll be married 58 years coming up now. I have three children, six grandchildren, three great-grandchildren.
And none of them wouldn't be here if you didn't come home. So somebody had a plan for you.
It has. Now what I'm doing in my retirement, I come to the Arizona Memorial and I spend about 3-4 days a week to come out here and meet with the people that visit the census here, talk to them about my experience, sign autographs, and in fact make myself useful out here. And I intend to do this as long as I'm able to, physically able to be here.
Well, and you're almost 92 and still going strong. I want to ask you more about the memorial itself. And so we'll take a quick break, come back with that, with Herb Weatherwax from Honolulu. Hometown Heroes on News Talk 580 KMJ. Welcome back to Hometown Heroes on this Saturday afternoon. A little different feel for you this Memorial Day weekend. We're at a place that is packed every Memorial Day, the Arizona Memorial in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Don't forget the Heroes of the Valley event tomorrow in downtown Fresno at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor. That starts at 2 o'clock. It's free for the whole family, and everybody would love to see you out there. Let's continue on now with Herb Weatherwax and talking specifically about the Arizona Memorial. Herb, how long have you been volunteering here at the memorial?
I think about 14 years. 14 years I decided, and ever since that I've found that this is where I'm needed, and this is where I should be, and I've enjoyed every bit of my time out here. And of course, I'm with the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association, and I happen to be the chapter president now. We have lost so many members. We just have only a handful of members that are still active in our association, and we in direct contact out here to assist the National Park Service in the structure of the new center that we have been built out here.
And you're really looking forward to seeing that completed, aren't you?
I kept them. I was here to break ground, and I've told them I want to be here to still be alive when they complete it, and I'm looking forward to the completion of it, because I think this center here is one of the greatest centers that that the American people should come to visit, because this is, we have thousands of people a day that come out here.
What is it that you want them to glean from this experience? Why do you come out here? What do you get out of it? What do you hope that they get from visiting and listening to guys like you share your stories?
And now, the thing is that, remember Pearl Harbor, that can happen again. America is a very powerful company, and there's, to my opinion, there's a lot of nations, people that they dislike us because of our wealth and good things going on, and we don't want to have a repetition of this taking place again. We have to be alert. At that time, prior to the Pearl Harbor attack, the American people thought that they should remain neutral. That was the thing. They didn't want to get involved into it until the attack on Pearl Harbor came about. And when that happened, it woke our nation up. Thank God to Kate Smith and many other entertainers. They were the ones that helped to arouse the people of America. Kate Smith was one of the greatest singers, most powerful singing voice, and she was the one that really excited the people as they heard her sing of that God Bless America, that the patriotic songs that was passed on. And as a result, the American people got together, and in a matter of 3.5 years, we ended two wars. Two wars, just imagine.
It's a pretty big testament to what America is capable of if we're united, huh?
Yes, America is capable if we get united together now. Divided, we fall. And, you know, united, we stand. That's an old saying that goes on and on. And that is what I want to tell the people, that remember, we feel secure, but it's still insecure now because of the nature, the type of people that we're fighting now.
We can't take our freedom for granted, and this memorial is one of the biggest reminders in the world of that. Let me ask you this. When you go out there, and you described being on the bus towards Schofield Barracks and seeing the Arizona up in smoke, now when you take the short little cruise out to the memorial and you look under the water and you see the little droplets of oil float to the surface, especially on Memorial Day when we honor those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice, what goes through your mind? What do you think about when you witness that sight?
When I witness that sight, I think of the youngsters that are still aboard the ship. They were young men that were serving the country, and there's almost 900 of them that are still aboard the ship. And they never had that chance in life that I have had. And I think that it's something that has happened, and it might be classed as a waste of life, but in such a situation, I go out there and I think of those youngsters. I get out and in the back area and see all the names of that 1,177 men that were lost that instant, just about that instant when the ship exploded. And that is it's a tragedy that I think America has never had. And now people come out here and ask me to compare it with the New York, the attack in New York, and 9/11 attack, and this. To my opinion, this attack at Pearl Harbor was a lot worse than that. But that 9/11 attack was a terrible attack. That should have awakened the people again. Wake them up and realize how serious we are in at the present time. A lot of American people has a sort of a sympathy for the captured people in that Guantanamo now. They say that this is a terrible thing to do to them. What about what they did to us? They destroyed American people there.
Let me ask you this, and I know that we're just about out of time, but when you're here at the memorial, 14 years of volunteering, I'm sure you've come across countless people who have wanted to talk to you, get your autograph, thank you for serving our country. Is there one thing that stands out that was really memorable, maybe something that someone said to you or an experience that made you feel like, I really should be doing this, this is why I'm here?
Well, for one thing, they treat us like rock stars out there.
Where's your rock star sunglasses?
Yeah, we go through the same thing. I have witnessed people going up to these rock stars and want autographs and things like that. We sign thousands of autographs out here. We sit down, spend the time to do that, and they take us like we're heroes and come out here, and they all have a high respect for us, and we appreciate that very much. But really, we're out here to see that this center is well taken, and I have experienced that the people that come out here are really touched by their experience out here. And we have a very nice rapport with one another. And we just love it out here. I love this. This is an incentive for me to continue to want to live for on and on.
It keeps you young.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to at least living to be 100 years. I have an aunt that lived to be 103 years old, and I still have a cousin that is about 97 years old now, so I think there's a possible chance of me getting to be 100 years.
Well, I'm counting on it from you, and since Fresno State plays Hawaii every year in three sports, I'm going to come back and hunt you down and take you out to lunch. So I just know that you're still heading for 100. One more thing, I get the sense, and you talked about what it means to you to interact with these people and how they thank you and tell you that you're a hero. I have a feeling, because I've heard it from so many who did get to come back to the war, that you believe the true heroes are the ones that didn't come back, like the men that are still buried in the Arizona. Do you try to remind people of that? Is that one of the reasons why you're here, to let them know, look, these people didn't have the opportunity that we have. They paid the ultimate price for our freedom.
I continuously tell the people, I bring that point up always when I talk to them, that there's youngsters aboard the ship are the heroes, the real heroes that was, and they should never be forgotten at all. And that's a reminder for the people to come out here, see the names on that wall. And we also have another area out here that had the names of the others that were killed. There were many others that were killed. Oklahoma itself lost 400, over 400 men aboard the ship. When it capsized, it trapped those men in the ship, and they just perished. So these are all the things that we have to remember, the sacrifices that was. Of course, they didn't know what happened to them when that happened, but they are the heroes. And of course, I've gone to Europe again 50 years afterwards and gone to the cemeteries out there and see all those heroes out there. I'm so happy that I'm still alive, and I just want to tell you that God bless America. A wonderful country.
Amen to that. Couldn't have said it better. And I'm counting on you to make it to 100, so I'm going to see you many more times. But Herb, thank you so much for talking to us today. Thank you for serving our country and for reminding all the visitors here that freedom isn't free.
Yeah, that's right. Freedom is not free. We have to make the sacrifices that is needed to continue to have what we have.
Amen to that. Thank you, Herb, and God bless you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, the time that I have spent with you, and I really want to thank you for it. I didn't expect this at all, but here I am, and thank you very much.
That's Herb Weatherwax, just a couple weeks shy of his 92nd birthday. When you come to Hawaii and you visit the Arizona Memorial, say hello to Uncle Herb. Call him that. He'll be looking forward to your visit. What a special guy, and what a treat to visit with two Pearl Harbor survivors here in Honolulu today. It's been my pleasure bringing those stories to you. Look forward to another edition of Hometown Heroes next week in the same place right here on News Talk 580 KMJ.